as it enters the sanctuary. Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children, gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins, and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty God, in this mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sin. As a called, ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We take the insert for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany, chant the introit.
Still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way.
Fret not yourself because of evil doers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon pay
O God, the strength of all who put their trust in you, mercifully grant that by your power we may be defended against all adversity. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after the Epiphany is from Genesis chapter 45. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed at his presence. So Joseph said to his brothers, "Come near to me, please." And they came near. And he said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are yet 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children, and your children's children, and your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, for there are yet 5 years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have do not come to poverty. And now your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father of all my honor in Egypt, and of all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. After that, his brothers talked with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We chant responsively Psalm 103, verses 1 through 8.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits.
Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases.
Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
chapter 15. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ, then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Why am I in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We stand for the Alleluia and verse. Jesus said, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend,
expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess together the Nicene Creed, page 206.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
You may be seated for the hymn of the day, hymn 843. Adaptions have been made,
Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreams Coat has a lot of fun songs. VeggieTales is always a lot of fun. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But there is a problem with adaptions. Usually, when we adapt something, we cover over the rough edges. We smooth them down to make them easier to swallow. And with the story of Joseph, the rough edges are kind of the point. Now, if you consider Joseph's family, they weren't great. They were dysfunctional at best. They were homicidal at worst. Their father, Jacob, was known for picking favorites, something that was just as bad then as it is today. He picked his favorite wife. He picked his favorite concubine. He had his favorite son, and that was Joseph. Bad enough picking favorites, he also made it abundantly clear by giving him that special coat so that all the world, and most importantly, his other sons, could see that this was Jacob's favorite. This was the object of his love. And when the other brothers saw this, they grumbled. They were unhappy because they could see that their father was picking for glory and honor the youngest among them, something that just wasn't done. What's worse, Joseph told them about his dreams, the dreams where all of them circled around him and bowed down before him like slaves bowing down to their master. They were offended by this, by the suggestion that they would do this. I've known families that have split over far less. The final straw that broke the camel's back was when, a little later, Jacob sent Joseph out to watch over the brothers as they were herding the cattle, or the sheep, or the other animals. So when the brothers saw Joseph, they realized he was there to spy on them, and they had had enough. They conspired amongst each other to kill Joseph, to strike him down, throw his body into a pit, and then tell his father that he died from a wild animal. They hated their brother. They hated him because he received the love that they thought was due to them. They hated him because he was the youngest and the least deserving of that honor. It drove them mad with jealousy. No one ever had to tell them to hate Jacob, to hate Joseph. They did it naturally as breathing. No one had to tell us to hate our enemies too. We do it as naturally as anything else. Jesus never had to tell us to hate those that hate us, to hate those that receive where we deserve. No. Instead, he tells us not to judge. Judge not, lest ye be judged, because we do not have the capacity to judge well. We're too good at finding the splinter in our brother's eye while ignoring the log in our own. We forget that none of us are innocent. We're so eager to get vengeance for the slightest wrong that our brother or sister does that we forget that God has a greater claim for grievance against all of us. Now, not all of Joseph's brothers wanted him dead. Reuben, the eldest, had a plan. He was able to convince the other brothers not to kill Joseph, but to throw him into a pit. He had a plan because even though he was the eldest, he had lost his favorite position. He had lost his inheritance. He had angered his father and wanted a way back into his good graces. So his plan was he would rescue Joseph from this pit, take him to his father, and once again bask in his father's love. Probably at the expense of the other brothers. Reuben did not love Joseph. He saw Joseph as an opportunity to gain profit. He did not see Joseph as someone to love, but someone to use. Reuben never had the chance. For Ishmaelites were coming by, and Judah, one of the other brothers, saw them and saw a way to both rid themselves of this troublesome brother and also make a quick buck. Let us take Joseph out of the pit, hand him to these Ishmaelites, and let them sell him into slavery. We don't have to kill him, but we also don't have to live with him. And that's exactly what they do. While Reuben is away, they pluck Joseph out of the pit, sell him to the Ishmaelites, and never expected to see him again. I can only imagine what it must have been like for Joseph as he was taken away from this land, the only land he had ever known, from the tribe that had protected him and taken care of him all his life, taken away from the love of his father, taken out of the promised land, Canaan, and taken down to Egypt, idolatrous Egypt. Canaan must have faded away like a dream. And yet, even in Egypt, the Lord was with Joseph. He blessed him. He looked over him. He watched him. And Joseph escaped slavery. He escaped the prisons until at last he stood like a father over Pharaoh and all of Egypt. And Joseph knew all along that the Lord was watching out for him. You only have to look at the name of his second son, Ephraim, to know that. Ephraim means, "For God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction." Joseph did not have any problems with the Lord. In fact, he trusted him. But what he did not have faith in was his family. We know this because his other son, his firstborn son, Manasseh, his name means, "God has made me forget all my hardship and the house of my father." So it is knowing that name an open question on whether or not Joseph will actually forgive his brothers when he sees them again. He certainly has every claim to want vengeance against them. And according to my simple flesh, I would agree with him. But that isn't how it goes down. For famine had come to Egypt and to all lands, and Joseph, thanks to the dreams God provided him, was able to store grain enough for all of Egypt to live. And Jacob heard about Egypt's grain stores and sent the sons to go trade for it. Joseph by then was so incorporated into Egyptian society that when his brothers saw him, they just saw another Egyptian official. They didn't recognize him. And Joseph here had a chance to finally get vengeance, to hate his enemies, and use his power and authority to make things right. But he doesn't. He tests them. He wants to see if his brothers have learned anything. So he seizes Simeon, one of the brothers, and tells the rest that he will not let him go unless they bring their youngest brother, Benjamin. Now Benjamin had been born after Joseph and had become the new son of Jacob's old age, the new favorite. And Jacob was not ready to let go of him. In fact, Jacob was pretty sure that if anything happened to Benjamin, he would die. "My son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead and he is the only one left. If harm should happen to him on the journey that you are to make, you would bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to Sheol." Now Reuben, always the opportunist, saw a chance to once again get in his father's good graces. He told Jacob that if anything should happen to Benjamin, that he could have the lives of Reuben's own two sons. As though to comfort him for the loss of a son by offering the deaths of two grandsons. Jacob denied it, refused it. It isn't until Judah comes, ready to bear responsibility for Benjamin, that Jacob allows it to happen. Judah tells him, "I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let me bear the blame forever." Judah was the brother who suggested selling Joseph to Egypt. And now here he is, ready to offer his own life for the sake of his brother, the loved one, the favorite. Judah isn't looking for profit. He isn't looking for a way to gain something from his father. He loves his brother, and he offers his own life for him. So when the brothers with Benjamin go down to Egypt, and Joseph devises a way to seize Benjamin and threatens to hold him forever, it is Judah that tells him, "As soon as I come to your servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, then as his life is bound up in the boy's life, as soon as he sees that the boy is not with us, he will die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of your servants, our father, with sorrow to Sheol. Now, therefore, please let your servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my lord, and let the boy go back with his brothers." Joseph saw Judah, the brother who sold him, the brother who betrayed him. He saw Judah ready to sacrifice himself for the life of his brother and for the life of his father. And when he sees this, he weeps. He breaks. Because now he knows his brother has repented, that he is someone to love. He sees his enemy and he loves him. Any thoughts of getting even with his brothers are gone. They disappear. He loves his enemies. He embraces them. For he understands now that because his brothers sold him into slavery, that God was able to save the entire world. The Lord had turned his brother's sin into a blessing that blesses us even today. As he told them, "God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God." Joseph understood that his years of toil and torment were all for a purpose, to save Israel, to save Jacob and his family from starvation. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Now, we must ask the question, why do we still talk about Joseph? Why is this a story that we still tell in church, at home, at the movies, everywhere? And there's a few reasons for that. Part of it is that this is the story of our faith, that this is history, that this is how we got here. Part of it is so that we have a good example in Joseph of one who loves his enemies and does not judge. But the most important reason is that this is part of the salvific story. Judah, self-sacrificing Judah, Judah who is ready to hand over his life for the sake of his brothers, Judah is the ancestor of Christ. Christ, who does not merely offer to sacrifice his life, but did so. And not just for his enemies, but for men and women who are born his enemies. The New Testament makes that connection between Christ and Judah in several places. It was foretold that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, which is by no least among the rulers of Judah, and that he would be the ruler that comes to shepherd the people of Israel. And as it says in Hebrews, it is evident that the Lord would be descended from Judah. And as it says in the Revelation of St. John, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered. Now there are many parallels between Joseph and Jesus. Joseph was betrayed by his brothers, handed over by them to the Ishmaelites, and sold into slavery down into Egypt. Jesus was betrayed by his own people, the Jews, handed over to the Romans, handed over down into death on the cross. But just as Joseph was able to save his family because he was sold into slavery, so too Christ saved his people by his death. The story of Joseph was written down so that we could see this image of a man saving his people through sacrifice, so that we can have this example of how we are to love our enemies and how to prevent ourselves from judging others. Jesus gave us a list of commands in the gospel lesson. These are good commands. You should very well do them. But they're not just commands. They're also descriptions, because they describe Christ. They describe what he does for us, these commands that he himself fulfills for us. Jesus loved his enemies. He blessed the ones who cursed him. He prayed for the ones who abused him. When the soldiers nailed the first of his hands to the cross, he did not withhold the other, but he gave it to them willingly. He did not deny the soldiers his cloak or his robes or even his blood. Jesus does not judge or condemn, but instead he declares us innocent and forgives us. As St. John tells us, Jesus Christ the righteous acts as our advocate before the Father, so that for the sake of his Son, the Father will declare us innocent. Joseph was able to save his brothers by giving them food. Food more than they ever even dreamed of. Christ gives us food. More than we ever dreamed of. More than we can ever understand. And he invites us to the feast. So come. Eat his body. Drink his blood. Did Christ not say that good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap? He was not speaking of earthly treasure. He was not offering you earthly riches. He was giving you something better. He offers you more and more and more until your cup runneth over in mercy and love. Joseph filled the hungry bellies of Israel. So much more will Christ fill your cup. To him be all glory and power forever. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.
Prayer of the church, we stand to pray. Let us pray for the whole people of Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. O Lord, your servant Joseph endured hardship and struggle, yet believed it would come to good. Give us such tested faith. Bring all things to completion according to your purposes in our lives, through Christ the new Adam, who has brought hope to this world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead all pastors, missionaries, church workers, and lay people in congregations everywhere to faithful service as your people with compassion and love. Bless every place where people hear your word and serve neighbor in Christ's name. Bless everything that we do at Trinity Lutheran Church this coming year. And bless the Lutheran Church in Romania, Pastor Andrew Fetter and his wife Megan, as they too share in Romania with the gospel. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Help all our parents who brought their children to Christ to the waters of holy baptism to also bring them faithfully to the divine service, that he may continue to take them in his arms and bless them through his word. This week, bless Tommy Ward, Theo Terenez, and Josh Hartman, Ann Huntley and Hope Warner as they celebrate their birthdays, and Jay and Peggy Gallagher as they celebrate their anniversary. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Let your love have its way with us, O Lord. Lead us to expect no self-interested reward, but to love even our enemies, serve those in need. Put an end to all bitterness and strife. Let forgiveness reign between each of us. Even as Christ's blood covers our sins before your heavenly throne, Lord, in your mercy, uphold civil authority and those responsible for the welfare of our nation, state, and community. Help them to steadfastly pursue the cause of justice and protect life from beginning to natural end. Guard first responders, protect those who defend us, here and abroad. As we pray for Mike Gobble, Charles Gaither, Emily Shelton, and Alex Laffin, Ricardo Batanga, Danny Green, and Courtney Tate, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort all who suffer. Deliver the sick according to your will and sustain them by your grace, those who are troubled in body or soul. Be with those still suffering from COVID. Be with Manoa Koserik, Darlene Medrick, and Raymond Sendelbach, Jessica Brarin, Judy Smith, and Patsy Roller, Joe Waller and Dwayne Brasowski and Jeannie Borster, Patty Reber, Candy Darmody, Neil Tapto, and Chris Henderson. Lord, in your mercy, grant your children patience and courage to endure every time of trial with hope in Christ. And be with the family of Tom Anderson at the death of his brother Terry Anderson. Be with the family of Jill Tarver at her death. Comfort the Anderson and Tarver family that in Christ Jesus we have that sure and blessed hope of a reunion in heaven. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks for the gift of this blessed sacrament, O Lord. Give us a right heart as we prepare to eat and drink Christ's true body and blood, that we would be equipped to love you above all and love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, to your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
At this time, we ask that you fill out the ritual friendship forms found at the end of the pew, passing them to the person next to you. You may place them in the baskets of the narthex as you leave. You may be seated for the offering.
service of the sacrament, page 208. We stand. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord. Holy Father, almighty, everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy.
Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As the glory of your presence once filled your ancient temple, so in the incarnation of your Son, Jesus Christ, you manifested the fullness of your glory in human flesh. We give you thanks that in his most holy supper, you reveal your glory to us. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, so that we may one day behold your glory face to face. We give thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, who
Matthew 2:11, we stand to sing. Upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.